Hello and welcome to the Commander's Quarters. I'm your host, Mitch. Glad to have you here. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about Commander on a budget. Today we have an episode of Commander's Two Cents. On episodes like these, I give you my own personal take on topics about the format in general and current news. This show and episodes like this one are possible thanks to viewers like you. If you're looking for an easy way to help support this show, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Also, hit that bell notification icon so you don't miss any new episodes. And while you're at it, subscribe and review our podcast as well. You can also go check out our playmats and other merchandise at thecommanderscourters.com. Another easy way to support this show is with our TCG player affiliate links. So whether you're buying a deck or individual cards, you can use this general link right here or one in the description. And the final way that you can support this show is by supporting us directly by becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, and I truly couldn't do this without all their support. Hey everyone, Mitch coming in from the Commander's Quarters studio. Welcome to the show. So on today's episode, I'm going to be answering the question I've seen out quite a bit in the community right now, and that's, just how good exactly are the Thriving Lands? So, the Thriving Lands were a new kind of land that was spoiled not too long ago. It's going to be in Jumpstart. They're in the common slot, so hopefully they're going to be budget, or they should be budget, I would hope, at least for a decent amount of time, hopefully for forever. I'm going to talk about kind of similar lands that, budget decks might use, and whether these are better or worse, and again, just my opinion, so please take everything with a grain of salt. I'm obviously not going to bring up lands that, they aren't really comparable to, Alpha Duels or Fetch Lands or ones that are just strictly, better or more expensive, not exactly budget cards. Even Shock Lands are, not really budget for a budget player like me. But yeah, I'll try to bring up some similar lands and talk about kind of, what's better and worse. So yeah, let's just jump into the Thriving Lands. There are five of them, and each essentially the exact same thing. But first up, there's Thriving Bluff. It enters the battlefield tapped. When it enters the battlefield, you choose a color other than red. And it taps to add red, it taps to add red or one mana of the chosen color. Let me just go through all of them real quick. Grove adds green, Heath adds white, Isle adds blue, and Moor adds black. So yeah, essentially they do all the exact same thing. They can add one of two colors. One is going to be one set color, and then the other one is based on when it comes into play what you choose. So these are pretty flexible lands, in any kind of a deck that's got, two or more colors, you might consider them, again, depending on your budget, everything like that. But basically, at the very worst, they are the exact same thing as the first kind of land that I'm going to bring up, which is kind of like the Guildgate type land. Ones that just enter the battlefield tapped, like Simic Guildgate, and they tap for green or blue. Now, obviously, if they're, a Mace's End kind of deck, the gates are going to be better, or, because that's kind of what the deck revolves around. Basically, they do the exact same thing at a base level. If you're in a two-color deck, the Thriving Lands are going to do the exact same thing. So they're not better or worse. They're basically the exact same thing. In a three-color deck, though, obviously the Thriving Lands are going to be better because they give you that flexibility. Yes, it does have one set color, but you can pick the other color that you actually need in the situation that you're in. Versus, a Guildgate or, those, there's similar lands around the Guildgates. I don't know if those cycles have exactly names, but, ones that are kind of stuck on two colors, this is going to be better than, because it gives you that flexibility, gives you that option, in a 3, 4, 5 color deck, obviously Thriving Moor or kind of any of the other Thriving Lands are going to be better. They give you, one specific color and then a color that you need for the situation that you're in. A similar one is going to be like a Bloodfell Cave that we compare this to. Enters the battlefield tapped. When it comes into play, you gain one life, and that taps for one of two colors. Basically exact same thing as a Guildgate, but it also has that added benefit of gaining you one life. Now, how valuable is one life in Commander? Not all that valuable. It's essentially just a slightly better, Guildgate, basically. And when it comes to comparing this to the Thriving Lands, if it's in a two-color deck, obviously gaining one life is better than not. You're just going to choose the exact same color anyways. So, yeah, in a two-color deck, the gain lands are going to be better than the Thriving Lands. In anything three or above, the Thriving Lands are strictly going to be better. Not being able to gain one life versus, being able to select the color that you want, 9 times out of 10 is going to be much more valuable. So, yeah, being able to fix your mana, better. Boros Garrison is an example of a bounce land. Enters battlefield tapped. When it comes into play, you return a land back to your hand. It taps for red, white. Now, there's kind of, I'd say that there's kind of like a split in the community when it comes to whether bounce lands are good or not. I personally don't like them very much because, they can, there is, that that chance that, you know, on turn two, you know, you basically, you know, are bouncing a land back to your hand and, you know, you have the discard at the end of the turn, basically, if you don't have any other plays or whatnot. It doesn't always happen, but, you know, there are times where bounce lands can be great. There are times when they can kind of actually, you know, hurt you a little bit too. Again, I think, you know, in a two-color deck, it's going to be similar. I personally would just prefer, you know, like the Thriving Lands over them in a two-color deck because, again, there's no bouncing. But, yeah, it's essentially, you know, once you get to three or more, these are just going to be strict upgrades to a bounce-type land. One that has gotten, or one type of land that's gotten a lot cheaper as of recent, I believe with some reprints, is going to be the Scrylands, like Temple of Epiphany. Enters battlefield tapped. When it enters, you scry one, and it taps for one of two colors. So, yeah, I mean, scrying when it comes into play, it's not card advantage. It is card selection. You know, it helps, you know, get rid of any dead draws off the top of your library. It can help you set the top of your library, which is great. But, yeah, again, it's kind of hard to evaluate the exact, power level of a Scryland. I think it's deck dependent. There are certain decks that really care about the top of the library more than others, so that definitely plays a factor into it. I do think that kind of the guaranteed, you know, being able to select the right color that you want for the situation that you're in with the Thriving Lands, I think would be better than scrying, personally. I know that there's definitely going to be spill on the other side of that argument, and that's great. But yeah, I think that, in my opinion, for any deck that's, you know, three or more colors, I'd prefer the Thriving Lands over the Scrylands, and that might be heresy, and that's okay. So next up, we've got the Trilands, like Seaside Citadel. It enters battlefield tapped, and it taps for green, white, or blue. So yeah, each of them, there's, you know, 10 of them. They each, you know, have the different three-color pairings, essentially. So yeah, these, basically, you know, in a three-color deck, they're going to be strictly better than the Thriving Lands because, you know, you get all your colors, essentially. They're kind of like a command tower that comes into play tapped, essentially, for those decks versus, you know, the Thriving Lands. Yes, they'll get, you know, two of the colors that you need, and but that third color is still not going to get for you. So, yeah, in a three-color deck, they're going to be better. The question is going to be that in a four- or five-color deck, what is better? I would say that it's pretty hard to tell. I mean, you know, chances are, you know, you've got, what, a 75% chance with a Tri-Land that you've got, you know, the color that you want out of them. You know, when, you know, you start with the opening hand or putting them down or whatnot, that you've got, you know, the right color that you need for starting off. You know, usually that's green for ramp spells or whatnot. But, you know, there is a chance that you get the Tri-Lands that don't have those versus the Thriving Lands. You know, you can always choose, you know, the color that you need to start off for the situation that you're in. Obviously, the later the game goes, those might be better because, you know, these Tri-Lands will give you access to more colors, you know, and you've already got, it helps with mana fixing throughout the game. But basically, yeah, I think in a four-color deck, it might be debatable. In a five-color deck, I would venture to say that the Thriving Lands might be better just because, again, they do help kind of fix that mana early for what you need versus, you know, just hoping that you get, you know, the right color out of those three for the Tri-Lands. I don't tend to actually, when it comes to five-color decks, you know, really utilize too many Tri-Lands regardless. But yeah, that's just me. The final one to compare to that many people will have, this is the one that I've seen most heavily debated between this and the Thriving Lands on what is better. And these are going to be the Vivid Lands. Vivid Creek is an example. It enters the battlefield tapped with two charge counters on it. It taps for a blue, and then you tap to remove a charge counter from it and add one mana of any color to your mana pool. These start off as very budget and have crept up. A couple of them have crept up in price a decent amount. I can still fit them in most budget decks. But yeah, basically this is, hey, I tap for one color, or I can tap for any color two times. So this one, again, like, you know, both get you the initial color that you want, but this one can kind of perfectly fix your mana twice. Again, and also if you're in a deck that's got proliferating or being able to add more counters onto these, then that works, you know, and these essentially just tap for one mana of any color throughout the game. So it kind of is a deck-dependent kind of thing. I'd say if I had to pick which one was better between these two, my gut says the Vivid Lands, but, you know, I'm not positive on that. I don't think Wizards likes lands that come into play with counters on them. I don't think that they're reprinting the Vivid Lands probably because of that. It is a little bit wonky, you know, when you're playing a game and you kind of have to put your Vivid Lands separate or whatnot because they get counters on them. So just a little wonky. So I think that, you know, kind of like less along that approach and more lands that are among the, you know, thriving more kind of choosing colors approach might kind of come into play. But yeah, I think that the Thriving Lands are really are fantastic budget lands. Again, in three or more color decks, essentially, they're they're, I mean, heavily considered for budget decks. I think you should be considering them. They're great. I think on all the cards on this list that I mentioned, essentially, again, like Tri-Lands, you know, in circumstances are going to be better. Vivid Lands are probably better. Again, that one's iffy to me. But yeah, the Thriving Lands, I think, are a fantastic addition. I'm glad to see, you know, Wizards print these. I hope they get reprinted in further sets because, you know, I think there's going to be a decent amount of demand for them. I think they are going to stay start budget, you know, definitely their commons. But yeah, I hope they stay budget. And yeah, I think that it's a great addition. I'm really happy to see kind of Wizards again playing with different ways to kind of make, you know, not overpowered lands, you know, but lands that can help, you know, fix a budget mana base or help with a budget mana base and help it really work. So yeah, I think the Thriving Lands are, it's already a success when the card hasn't even come out or, you know, been played with, you know, but I think they're, I think it's a really good design. So I'm very excited to see those and to use them in some decks. So yeah, let me know in the comments below what your thoughts are. What do you think about the, you know, the lands or types of lands I compared them to? Are they better or worse than those? Are there certain ones that I didn't bring up that you think I should have? Yeah. So yeah, let me know in the comments below. And as always, thanks again and have a good one. And make sure you're following us on social media for more updates and sneak peeks on future episodes. Again, a huge thank you to my patrons who helped make this show possible. I truly couldn't do any of this without your support. If you want to support this channel directly, consider becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, including being able to vote on future Commanders for deck techs. There are even tiers where you get your own personalized deck tech dedicated to you. You can check out all the Patreon tiers and rewards at patreon.com/commandersquarters. If you haven't already, make sure that you like and subscribe to the channel. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about budget commander. So while you're at it, go ahead and check out some of our other types of episodes. And with that, I'm out of here. Thanks again and have a good one.